Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're gonna take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. Goddamn right, I got a day off. Holy shit, it's Wednesday, August 16th as I record this open. Hey, man, let me get through some business here, and I'm going to tell you guys a few stories, and we're going to kick back into part two with my conversation with the one and only Post Malone. Hey, folks, check out the new Podcast One app. It's available now for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool features that lets you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. And you can watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos where you can watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. So get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new Podcast One app now. Hey, man. God damn it. I don't know if you can hear this, but there's a helicopter buzzing overhead. I know you can hear that. Son of a bitch, I'll tell you what. I've been living out the Broken Skull Challenge compound during the week. Y'all know if you listen to this damn show, that's how I roll. I live out there on set so I ain't got to travel back and forth. So I can do my podcast, so I can get my workout in, do all the shit I got to do out there while we're filming. It's hot and heavy. And I'll tell you what, the peacefulness of being out there 50 miles out of Los Angeles has been spectacular. I love where I live here in Marina Del Rey. It's a great neighborhood. We're 1 mile from the water. The climate is great. I love it when we have a marine layer, when it kind of gets fogged in and it almost looks like it's going to rain and it's very, very cool. Son of a bitch. It's really nice. But here's one of the things that I don't miss when I'm living out there on the compound. I don't miss all the fucking noise. Goddamn sirens, helicopters, bullshit, people acting crazy in these goddamn cars. It's so peaceful out there. Shit, I might look for a piece of land out there. I don't know, but God damn it, I come back here to this concrete jungle. It is what it is. I dig Los Angeles. I like Texas better, but this helps facilitate business to do what I do in the form of hosting Broken Skull Challenge, do these podcasts and shit like that. I've got some real cool guests coming up as soon as I get through filming. When I'm doing this damn show, it is all I can do to try to stay ahead of the game or just even with the game. I pre-recorded almost all of the podcast up until the Post Malone interview, which you heard on Tuesday, and I'll continue today because that's how busy I get. God damn it. Shit, owe everybody a beer. I'm trying to sit here and tell you how busy I am when my phone goes off. That ain't quality control. And you see, it's shit like this. A phone ringing, a helicopter's buzzing overhead. That's why I can't win no fucking awards on this podcast. NPR quality on this son of a bitchin' podcast is a drizzling shits. I got to get my act together. Come on, Steve. You can do better than that. No, I'm just kidding. I like when the phone goes off. Hey, if you see me down there at El Segundo Brewing Company drinking a Broken Skull IPA once I get through filming, come up to me and tell me, hey, Steve, I want that fucking beer you've been talking about. I'm about to whole damn bar one. Shit. Anyway, Where was I before I got sidetracked? I'll pick it up from here. I told you guys, my damn Chevy pickup truck had crapped down on me. My wife and I went down to the GMC dealership over here in Los Angeles, and I dropped my truck off. They said they're going to call me tomorrow and see what it is. I've had a lot of emails you guys sent in. It's EGR, it's O2 sensor, it's spark plugs. When you took your supercharger off, it didn't recalibrate. Anyway, they're going to diagnose all that. Turns out I got a, I got some kind of leak in my front left hub, and I have either a head gasket or a valve cover gasket that's leaking as well. So they're going to take care of all that shit. And I told you guys I was going to drive every truck on the market because I figured I'm going to keep my Chevy. I'm going to turn it into my ranch truck if I ever find a ranch. And I said I was going to find some new technology. So I started my quest today because I had a rare day off. There's a Toyota dealership right down the road from my house. So I called my wife. I said, hey, when you get done running your errands, pick me up. I want to go try a Toyota TRD Pro four-wheel drive pickup. So I went down to the dealership. They had one on the lot because I looked on the internet to make sure that they had the Pro model. And it was the color was cement, kind of like a dark gray. Really pretty, really good looking. So anyway, we go to the Toyota dealership. My wife and I, all of a sudden, there's the truck. We look at it, and they got a Toyota Tundra TRD, which they had someone had just bought and turned back in because it was too big for the lady that bought it. Could have got a great deal on that pickup, but I was looking for the TRD because I was looking for something that was a little bit more maneuverable. And my brother-in-law has a Toyota TRD, and that son of a bitch, you talk about a rock crawler, get out of just about anything you can get it in. As far as getting unstuck, they're highly capable as off-road vehicles. So anyway, we get in the truck. Man, I put my blinker on, just coming out of the parking lot. Dealership parking lot, I already got my blinker on. That's the kind of driver I am. Shit, man, we took that damn thing for a test drive, got it on the highway, hauled ass, pushed the ECT button for a little extra horsepower, punched it, hauled ass. It was a really nice pickup truck. Kind of got a hood scoop integrated on the front hood. I was digging that. All the bells and whistles of that truck, I think that thing was running right at 270, 275 on horsepower. I don't remember what the torque numbers were. Outlets in the back of the pickup truck to plug power tools and stuff like that in. It's an amazing pickup truck. I really liked it. It rode great. And, of course, you know, Toyotas, they're almost never in the shop. They last a long time. But with my wife and I in two front bucket seats, the salesman in the back seat, it was a little cramped back there for that guy. And once we pulled back into the dealership, my wife got back there. And I tell you what, it's just pretty tight spacing back there in the back seat. Now, I could dig the Toyota because it's just a little smaller with respect to trying to park here in Los Angeles. Y'all have heard me talk before. My Chevy is a cab and a half long bed. And that motherfucker, when you go to Santa Monica or Beverly Hills and you're trying to get an underground parking, more times than not, you will valet park that thing because you can't find a spot to angle that thing into. I am probably one of the best drivers in the world. I am not talking about race car driving. I'm just talking about driving in general. I think, the computer rankings had me at number two. I'd been in the number one spot for some time as far as best drivers in the world. I'm fucking with you. I'm lying. Anyway, it's hard to park a long wheelbase pickup truck in Los Angeles. You can have a work truck, you can work, but you ain't gonna be parking a whole lot of underground parking garages. That's what I need to do. And so that Chevy, you know, that some bitch, you know, when I use it, I'm just using it to go to work and haul and stuff like that. But going back to the Toyota, badass pickup truck. When I launched it off the line at the stoplights, takes off pretty good. But, you know, I called my brother-in-law who has the same pickup. I said, dude, how you doing when you got your 12-foot utility trailer and you got a mule in the back of that thing? Because when you drive from Los Angeles to Reno, Nevada, which is about 450 miles away, you are going up mountains the whole goddamn way. And I don't want that son of a bitch revving high as fuck because it's climbing hills, climbing mountains, trying to pull my damn mule so I can go ride up there in the mountains. So as good as the Toyota TRD is, and when I go to Reno, Nevada, that's probably the number one truck that I see on the roads over there. I cross that truck off my list. Respectfully, it's a badass pickup truck, but I'm looking for something with just probably a little bit more horsepower and probably something with a little bit more room. If you're in the market for it, badass pickup truck. If you got one, you made a great selection. After using my pickup truck, my 03 Chevy cab and a half, even though it's only a cab and a half, you know, you got so much room in there. I got to have that extra room. So next on my list, heading down to, I saw a damn Dodge the other day, and it was a half ton, 1500. And that thing, four doors, short bed, going to be my next truck. I think I'm going to drive. Might drive that Power Wagon, get into the three-quarter ton stuff. I'm going to drive a diesel stuff. Anyway, that's my truck driving story. Crossed one off the list, and awesome pickup truck. Nothing against it. I just want to look maybe a little bit more horsepower, a little bit more room. We'll see how it goes from here. And on one more closing note, if my Chevy truck, if they fix that son of a bitch, get it running good again, which I think they will, fix the hub and get the valve cover gasket or the head gasket fixed, I might just hang on to that son of a bitch and just go get a goddamn large SUV so we got something to fold the seats down, get on the road. I need a dog hauler. When we go to places and we're not taking an SUV, I got to haul some dogs around. So might end up in a fucking SUV and just keep the truck because it's already broke in. It's already scratched up. It's already fucked up. I ain't got to worry about the break in. So I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, but we're working on it. We're working on it. Anyway, let's shift gears here and talk about something else. Y'all know I'm filming the Broken Skull Challenge right now, and I'll be goddamn, you talk about a hellacious season. I've been doing this show for 5 years, five seasons, however long that turns out to be. And this is probably going to be the goddamnest season we've ever had. The athletes are coming out here, and man, you talk about premier, putting in the work, doing all kinds of shit. We've upped our game. The challenges are wilder, tougher, meaner, nastier than ever. The Skull Buster is the same exact way. The level of athleticism just keeps continuing to rise. And so these people, men and women, come out to California from all over the United States of America, and they're looking for a challenge. And guess what? We got a challenge for everybody that shows up. Ain't nobody ever left out of there and said, hey, man, that wasn't tough. That wasn't challenging. That was easy. They ain't never said that because ain't no easy day at the Broken Skull Challenge. That is a tough-ass show. I'm looking forward to this summit's coming on the TV. It's going to start airing on September 26th on a Tuesday at 10/9 Central on CMT. And I'll tell you what, man, it's going to be some good shit. I've had a whole lot of fun filming this year and living out there in my trailer, driving my mule around, cooking on my damn pellet grill every damn night. Here's one for you. I don't care what kind of pellet grill you're looking for. There's a bunch of different brands out there. I've been cooking chicken and salmon every goddamn meal since I got out there on that damn pellet grill. I came back to Marina Del Rey because I have 2 days off, and I fired up my grill, my regular propane grill, and I cooked my chicken on there. I had the same Traeger chicken rub. I used the same exact rub. So comparing apples to apples, or in this case, chicken to chicken, I tell you what, that pellet grill outcooks the propane on chicken, hands down. You ain't got to flip no meat. You ain't got to do shit to it. Just let it sit there. You could probably do the same thing on a propane grill, but it just wasn't the same, man. And if you guys got a pellet grill or you got a propane grill or whatever, if you got experience on both of them, send me an email to questions at steveaustinshow.com. I've been using mesquite pellets. Some bitches taste like $1 million. I'm going to switch over. I think I'm going to try a pecan or something else. What do I have? Hickory? I can't remember what the fuck. I got a whole bunch of pellets. I'm going to switch out my pellets this week when I finally burn through those mesquite ones. But it's a whole different experience. And I'm looking forward to getting to some bitch home because I also got like a pizza stone in there. So my wife's going to fire that thing up. If y'all don't know, my wife is a vegetarian. So she ain't going to put a bunch of goddamn T-bone steaks on the grill and eat for herself. Normally, I'm the one cooking the shit on the grill. But the damn thing, you can cook anything on them. So check into a pellet grill. Many brands out there. Mine's a Traeger. As long as you got your pellet grill, I think you'll probably be really pleased with the results. That smoke, God damn it, the technology behind that motherfucker, I dig it the most. Anyway, let me take care of the business here. Post Malone, he came riding up in here, God damn it, with that, hell, I looked at that Mercedes. No, it wasn't a Mercedes. It was a Rolls-Royce Wraith. That thing stickers for about $315,000 before you load it up with all the goodies. That's probably the most expensive car I ever set my country ass in. I ain't never been in no goddamn Rolls Royce. Some bitch was cool. Twin supercharged V12, 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds. Luxury, suicide doors, two of them. Just awesome car. Post Malone came over here. Check out when I talked to him about his watch at the end of the podcast. I got an eye on everything. I know my damn watches. Damn, I thought I knew my cars. I don't run across a whole lot of damn Rolls Royces over here at 316 and 17 Gimmick Street. I think I'm going to just call this place Broken Skull Ranch Studio. Maybe Broken Skull Studio. BS2. BS squared. Fuck yeah, that's what I got. All right, man, big ups to True Car. When you're looking to buy a new car and you want to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price, with True Car, you can get information that empowers you with pricing context. It lets you see what other people in your area pay for the car you want. It's pricing you're going to see before going to a dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with True Car, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing. When you're ready to buy a new car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Post Malone is coming right up.
Hey, everyone. It's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory, with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
We'll get right back to, I'm fixing to ask Post Malone about touring, but he asked me a question. I don't want to be just me grilling him. What's the question you had?
How did you come up with the leg brace?
I had to. I was playing football at North Texas State University. It was run down on a kickoff return or a kickoff, whatever it was. I was on a kickoff team, and the dude I was supposed to block, I hit him and he hit me, and as soon as that happened, my left knee just went down, and I just felt the pain. I was laying face down on the turf, and I was like, God dang, something ain't right. I tore my anterior cruciate ligament, and a doctor looked at me, and he said, hey, man, your PCL is pretty strong. I don't think we need to replace it. We'll just rehab you, and you'll be good to go. I didn't know anything about no surgeries or no knee problems back in the day. I was a kid, 20 years old, playing football, bulletproof. You know the deal.
Right.
And so anyway, I came back the next year and started all 11 games at defensive end. And then I got into the business of pro wrestling. I was working on a freight dock, loading, unloading trucks, driving a forklift. Saw a commercial on TV, got in the business. Jacked up my knee several more times.
How does that go?
How does what go?
You just see a commercial and you go try out or something?
Well, you know, I was living in Denton. That's 35 miles from Dallas. And so I would go down to the Sportatorium, which George Jones used to perform there. Right. All the people way back in the day, Elvis performed there. But that's where they used to wrestle at World Class Championship Wrestling. And I'd go down there, me and my buddies, drinking beer, throwing shit at the wrestlers, and having a good time. And I was driving a forklift. My scholarship ran out, and I was just working a regular job, manual labor. And a gentleman, Chris Adams, came out with this commercial for a wrestling school. I said, man, that's my end right there. Remember I told you I couldn't be a musician.
Right.
I had no music ability. So I followed pro wrestling since I was 7 or 8. And so I went down to school. And then after, you know, going through the school for 5 months, had my first match. And, dude, I don't know how it is for you. Like when you're trying to put beats together at a very young age, you're doing shit and you think it's good. And you think it's good, but when it really comes down to it, it ain't worth a shit. Well, when you're wrestling, you're green as hell. And so you got to learn the chops, you know, learn the trade. And then all of a sudden with repetition, matches, you know, you start getting better. Maybe kind of along the same lines as you. Anyway, so I finally got a break, but tore all the ligaments in my right knee, tore them all in my left knee. And so at first I just had that left knee brace. And then when I jacked up my right knee, I had to put on that second one.
Double.
It was at a pay-per-view in Minnesota. And the governor, Jesse Ventura, was special referee of that match. And I remember when I walked out that night, it was the first night I'd ever walked out with two leg braces on. I thought, man, because I remember Bam Bam Terry Gordy used to wrestle with two leg braces on. I said, man, that looks like he's in pain. And I wasn't in any pain. I just had real loose knees.
Right.
So I felt real self-conscious about it that night, but I worked through it, and then it was almost like it became a part of who and what I was.
Right.
You know, the black vest, the black trunk. Yeah, I mean, I was like a machine.
Right.
And a whoop-ass machine. And so they were necessary. I didn't wear them for the looks. I wear them because I needed them to function.
Right.
And I was out in my yard next door just a couple years ago, and I turned in the grass, and my left knee just kind of just separated like that. And I said, you know what? It's time to get this shit fixed.
Right.
So I had an ACL and PCL from cadaver ligaments grafted
wow.
in and got the left one fixed. My PCL is still intact over here on my right knee. I don't have an ACL, so I'm not going to get it fixed because it's solid. But now, dude, in regular life, I don't need nothing. I'm not in any pain. So that's the story behind the leg braces.
Right. It's crazy.
But it worked for me. It ended up being part of the uniform, as I would call it. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
We made a living out on the road.
Right.
You know, you can sell some stuff on the internet with merch, this, that, or whatever. But as a touring act, that's where the money is.
Right.
So, man, you're getting paid on the house. If nobody shows up, you ain't making no money. And you probably ain't going to sell no T-shirts
right.
or caps or
right.
whatever. So how often are you on the road now? Because last time I talked, you and me was trying to hook up.
Right.
And you was over to Denmark or Brussels,
mm-hmm.
Belgium.
Yeah,
where was
we're
it?
In some weird European places,
yeah.
a strange land.
So what's the touring schedule for you like? And do you like being on the road?
Oh, man. The road is a love-hate relationship.
It's, agreed.
Yeah, it's a love hit. You love it sometimes, but then you're just like, sometimes, man, I just don't want to do it at all. But I'm going on tour tomorrow for a week. For just, it's almost 2 weeks with Future. He invited me to a bunch of dates, which is awesome. And they're paying me a lot of money, which is awesome. And I get to expose myself to a whole new different, I wouldn't say different, same genre. A whole, you know, a bunch of Future fans that maybe have never even heard of me.
Right.
Or just know one song. And I get to, you know, show them what I'm really, you know, made of. And so I do that for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. And then I come back. I got a week. And then I think we go on actual tour after that, which for like 2 months. It's tough. Michael Jackson said it best. And he goes, how do you feel about touring? Oh, I hate touring. Can you say that back? But can you say that you love being on tour? And the guy behind the camera, and he said, "Oh, I love touring." And you know, it's shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You know, I love meeting new people. I love meeting my fans. I love playing my music for people. But it's just, you know, it's different. I should be in college right now. I should be studying for my midterms or something. But I'm just rocking, rolling.
Man, I always look at it like this. You know, when I first started out in Dallas, and then they started booking me full time, and it was in the weekly territory in Tennessee. We worked the same towns over
right.
and over every single week. And then in WCW, it was United States.
Right.
Then WWF, worldwide.
Right.
And everything's just one big circle.
Well, right? how long are you on the road out of the year in that business?
In many years, it was over 250.
Because like Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff is every week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're only looking at 52 weeks in a year, so that's 52 shows, but you're working probably 2 or 3 days before that and a day behind it. So they're in the ring 5 nights a week probably for the most part. But the thing about it is, when I would go on the road, going back to the love-hate thing, I loved it. And I always say you kind of turn into being a zombie.
Right.
Like you're in road mode. I mean, you're still a living, functioning human being. And
right.
Dude, you know, back in the day, every night was a bottle of Crown for me.
Right.
Not every other night.
Every
that
night.
That was the way I rolled.
Yeah, we love it.
And that
we
was
love
the
it.
Way I rolled. Yeah. And I was a machine. And I was the first guy there and the last guy to leave. And I worked my ass off.
Like the Marines.
And so when you know, sometimes you'd be out on the road so long and it'd be like, man, I can't wait to get home. And I would get home and you never really truly unpacked. So you got your suitcase by the washer and dryer. You throw the shit in, it's dirty. You keep the stuff in, it's clean, because you never really unpack because you're going back on the road.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
thinking, I need to get home because I want to hang out. And then I'm at home, and like a day and a half later, like, I'm going crazy. I need to get back on the road.
Right.
So it's only some, in many respects, sometimes that's a place that really feels like home. But then you get tired of it and you go home and it's like, okay, I got a gut full of home. So it's like, again, it's that love hate thing that you just said. I loved it. And like, because it was my life and it was my passion. I love pro wrestling. But then when I got, you know, had to leave because of my neck, then I got out of being, you know, a zombie on the road. And it took me 3 years to come to grips with that. So now I'm like anti-travel. If I go do something to film something or whatever, that's one thing.
Right.
But just to jump around and go do things in different places, nah, dude, I'm a homebody.
And your sleep schedule is just stupid.
I didn't need sleep, dude. At 22 years of age, I can tell you something. You don't either. As long as you get 8 hours of sleep a week, you're good.
8 hours?
Yeah. Whether just you need it or not.
Just an hour a day and then maybe you
go. I mean, how do you feel? Dude, when I first got into business, you know, I was 24, 25 years old. And, you know, you're hanging out with a bunch of veterans. They've been in business 10, 15 years.
Right.
You're doing the same damn thing.
Well, yeah. I met Rick. He's a big, big vet. He loves
Tell
you.
This story.
He loves you, man.
Here's the story.
Wrestling ain't the same without you.
Here's the story. I told you how me and Post got hooked up. It's good seeing him sit across the table from me. And I get a text message from Ric Flair, Nature Boy Ric Flair, the greatest professional. There you go.
Yes,
the greatest pro wrestler in the history of the business. And he goes, hey, Steve, what are you doing? I'm hanging with the postman. And I'm like, who the hell is he talking about, the postman? And I'm like, I said, who's the postman? He goes, you know, the rapper. And I'm like, because we had just talked a week earlier.
Right.
And I looked, I said, I know Post Malone, or I haven't met him yet, but I know Post Malone. And finally, my wife said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. Flair's hanging with some guy called the postman. And then he called me, and he goes, no caller ID.
Right.
I never answer calls that are no caller ID, but I knew it was Flair because we were texting. So I said, all right, man, let me pick his son bitch up. Yo, Steve, the whole Ric Flair thing.
Right.
He goes, here's a postman. I hate when people hand the phone off.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
Because all of a sudden you're talking with,
yeah, you
it
don't
was
know
you.
Who it is.
I'm like, oh, okay.
I tell you what, he still goes crazy. He's a good guy, man.
Oh, man, Flair's the best.
He's a wild man.
You I don't think a guy's ever met a stranger. I mean, he's a people person. I think he's the greatest of all time.
Right. I mean, they just voted him the swaggiest of all time, swaggiest athlete of all time.
Man, I love it. Yeah, Flair, he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
man, I tell you what, man, they call him the Nature Boy.
Woo!
What is he doing that at the bar?
Just his walk. He's killer, man.
Hey, tell me this. When you go on tour here after you get back off the one you're going on tomorrow, will you be headlining that?
No, that's what I'm opening up for Future.
Okay.
So, you know, Future's here. He's doing stadiums or like arenas and stuff. So I have a 30-minute set, but, you know, I'm just blessed that he invited me.
Hey, tell me about your stage show, because I'm not going to drop any names, but a lot of stuff I see today that not rap related, but kind of pop, the people that are in pop now and 10 years ago, dude, if they didn't have a dance routine, they wouldn't have an act. And are you lip syncing?
No, not any. So a big thing in hip hop is that a rapper will play the MP3. Of their song.
Yep.
And their mic will be on and they'll just rap to it.
Right.
But I didn't really want to do that. So I just have, so like the two track, like, which is the beat, and then I have my harmonies on there, and then I sing the leads throughout the whole thing.
Right.
So, and I think that's really like, it really connects the audience. So you can mess up. It brings an element of being human in there instead of just like, you could stop and just breathe for a minute and do whatever you want. So I just wanted to, you know, make it really like relatable and really human, and we're all just people turning up and having a good time.
But what I like to see, or what I like to hear, because man, when I'm listening to music, I like to feel the music.
Right.
I just want to look at it. But so many people, I mean, if it wasn't for a dance routine, they wouldn't have an act.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, come on.
It's crazy. No, there's
Sing.
I mean, it's important to have a good, if you can't sing your songs the same way you do on the record, it's just not good. But so many people get away with it because, you know, they have pyrotechnics and flying spaceships
right.
in the background, big old monitor. But I mean, I really like to keep my stuff really super simple. Like for this tour, we're gonna have I designed my set kind of like a roadhouse, so it has like the swinging doors on the side. It's like super cool, and I think we're gonna have like a super very baller VIP section to where it's just like a round table with bar stools where like fans can like sit there and watch the show from side stage and just be a part of the scenery and the humanism of it. And I'm going to play some guitar. I'm going to sit down and do some acoustic stuff on this. And it's just going to be super cool. I don't want to overproduce it. I really just want it to be me and the music. Plus, not to mention, I'm not super baller yet. Like, I can't have like a flying UFO bring me on stage and just with smoke and just like fly down like that. Yeah. But you know, it'll come. But I need to make sure that it's actually me up there and it's actually.
How does the acoustic stuff with just you and the guitar get over?
Good stuff. I was really surprised because it's we kind of did it with Go Flex, but we kind of like merged it. We really wanted to merge it and make something that we call it trap folk, and no one's ever really done that type of stuff. And it went over really well.
Explain that, trap folk.
So I'm really into folk. I got, you know, I got my Bob Dylan, I got, you know, all that good stuff. You know, just like gentlemen sitting down with a nice guitar and just singing their heart out. But then we put like some 808s over it, some big hip-hop drums, and it just hits and sounds good.
What's an 808?
Boom. Like okay. The big old
right.
rapper bass. You know, we love it. It's just, you know, it shakes your speaker, shakes your whole earth. And
When you're on the road with like a Future or someone else, mm-hmm. and they're going headline,
right?
And you got your session. Are y'all hanging before? Is it, hey man, you stay out of my space until I do my thing?
I mean,
what's protocol?
It depends. I don't care. If someone, all my like last tour I went on, we had Larry June opening, and we hung out like every day and we just had some drinks and turned up and got ready for the show. Cause that's what it is. Really for me, I wake up 2 hours before the show. I'm still in my underwear. I'm pounding beers, doing beer bongs. And then I get dressed 10 minutes before the show and then I go on. So it's really super open. I still get nervous, super nervous. Like really? I'm very shy. I can't perform unless I've had a couple of beers. I'm very, very, very shy. Like, I'm very reclusive and very just like, I'm not the same, you know? And it's, you know, going out in front of 2,000 people is hard. I know you understand going out in front of 20, and it's tough. It never gets easier either. You always walk out, you get them butterflies.
But how do you feel once you get out there, man? You got that great response,
right?
And then everybody's in the groove that you're singing, and
right. They're
digging what you're doing.
I mean,
then do you just like swell up and like, hey, man?
Yeah, that's the good stuff. So usually everybody's vibing, but especially on like a ticket where I'm not headlining, they didn't come there just to see me. You have to find those super fans that really did come here just to see you, and they're turning up, and then you look at them and sing the whole song with them, and that'll give you the motivation to just rock and roll, and you give them a show that they'll never forget.
Let me ask you, man, you're talking about being on a bill where maybe they came to see the headliner,
right,
and you're an opener, and yeah, there's fans of yours out there,
right,
but some of them have never heard of you,
right,
or aren't a fan, and you don't get the response that you think you're going to get. And I'll draw a parallel. Many times I went out there as the new kid in town and new kid in the territory, and man, I make my entrance, and I'd hand a guy a cassette tape. Hey man, could you play this on my way out? Because everybody got to have interest music.
Right.
Back here in Tennessee, the guy says, you can't have no entrance music. You just got here.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'd appreciate it if you'd play it. Dude, I had nothing.
Right.
I sucked in the ring. I was very green. At least I wanted some cool Van Halen right. music that I can make an entrance to. If I don't get them with what I do right. in the ring, at least I had a cool right. entrance song. And so, you know, you go out there and it's crickets. Right. And you're talking about, I was a shy kid growing up as well. And all of a sudden you go out there and you don't hear nothing. You know, right. from, in the form of appreciation, you right. can't grab them with the match. I mean, it's very disconcerting, right. to say the least.
Right.
You've been in those shoes maybe a few times, certainly probably not anymore with all of your success and explosion. But tell me about the informative days or even times now. Dude, I wrestle in Chevrolet parking shop, you know, parking lots. I mean, Chevrolet dealerships I've wrestled right. in front of, outdoor places where they got like 50 chairs. And you ain't got shit. Have you ever been there?
I mean, it's like starting out, I did a show at the Viper Room. I don't know how the hell I got it. I don't know what the hell happened, but there was four people there and no one knew what the hell was going on. Who cares? Whatever. But it's, you know, it's just stuff you got to go through. Like if you can do that, then you can do anything. You know, especially like growing up too, I did little folk country acoustic sets at restaurants where no one would show up. I was in a band, no one would show up. It's just, if you can do that, then you can perform in front of anybody.
Here's one for you. You talking about Hank Sr.,
yeah.
you being a fan. You know, Hank, god dang, he loved his pills and his whiskey and his beer and all that
he
stuff.
He was a rapper.
Yeah.
He was and a rapper of his days.
You know, a lot of times he would no show. What is your prep? You said you get up 2 hours later, you have a couple beers, you're ready to get on the show. Mm-hmm. Is that the normal everyday prep?
Yeah, that's really it. So on tour, I'll be on the bus. I'll get up. I'll probably be up till 5 a.m. The shows, I go on at 10. So I'll go to bed at 5, wake up at 6. Start drinking with all the boys, the openers and all that stuff, and my DJ and my sound guy, and we'll just have a couple beers, smoke some cigarettes, maybe hit a bar down the street or even at the venue. Go to the venue and drink the beer and then chill out for a little bit. When you know you look at the line building up,
mm-hmm.
you say, wow, that's a big line. It's going to be a great show. I mean, all the shows now for this next tour are sold out, which is awesome. Last tour, I did not have an album out. I had like 6 songs that I was touring off of. It was wild. It was the most crazy thing. And, you know, I just kept hoping that more people would show up. I was like, wow, I'm really a one-hit wonder. Like, White Iverson is the only good song I have.
Right.
But now that the album came out, pre-sales, not even real tickets are for sale yet. Just the pre-sales are all sold out. It's super awesome. And I'm just ready to party, man. It's just like, it's just the same stuff every day, but you never know the outcome of the night. You never know what crazy shit you're going to see or what crazy fan is going to crowd surf, and you know, it's just super cool, man. I'm really excited.
But in that
can
prep,
I? Man?
Yeah, yeah. In that prep to get ready for the show, do you ever cross the line to the point of no return where you're so jacked up, I mean, bombed, that you can't perform?
We love it.
I know. Sometimes the crowd does not love it. What happens when you go too far before the show gets on because you just get caught in a party groove and all of a sudden it's time to go and you're a little hammered?
I've never thrown up at a show. Not going.
You've never thrown up.
I've never thrown up at a show.
Are you singing on key? Are you on time?
There's been some times where I'm just, you know, especially it happens a lot out here because we do the observatory up in, what is that, Orange County? Yeah, Santa Ana, and we do that, and every time, man, hammered. Every time I walk out with no shoes, I don't care. It's just like, it's a super cool show. And last time, like, I almost fell 6 times. It was like, but that's the most fun show. And the fact is that even no matter, I this is my life. I do this every day. So no matter what, I can throw down. Like, I'll put on the mic. Even if I have no breath after the show, even if I pass out after the show, these people came out to see me. So as hammered as I am, I pray to God that they're all the same level hammered as me, and I'm going to sing my ass off. So, I know you feel the same. Wait, did you drink a lot before the matches?
Oh, man, no, because it's so physical out there. A couple times I rode down the road with a good friend of mine, and we drank a six-pack for a match, and then it's like, nah, you know what? That wasn't a good idea.
Right.
So, no, I stayed away from it. But, you know, as soon as it was over, it was on.
Yeah.
And you got to remember sometimes when we start doing that beer drinking stuff, I mean, man, they keep throwing me down.
How did that start?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, how did that start?
And people say, like,
the beer guy and the dexterity.
I know, but I got to give a shout out to Sandman, who started it in ECW. Now, he was one who was banging them off his heads. I just clacked them together and started drinking them. So it wasn't to copy Sandman, because he was the first guy that did it.
And right.
I don't know if some fan had one ringside and I started drinking it or how it was born, but all of a sudden, all I remember is catching a bunch of beers. You know,
right.
they would bring them.
Right.
And we would rotate through different beers. You know, Coors Light, you know, Bud Light,
right.
Miller Light. And then Bush Light, Natty Light.
Right.
And just because I didn't want to stick with one beer to give them too much pub.
Right.
And then Vince started the XFL, the old football league back in the day, and they were a Budweiser sponsor. And you know, I wasn't a big Bud guy. I drink my share of Bud Light.
Got my Anheuser-Busch tattoo right here.
Budweiser, and I was like, God dang, this stuff's going down a little bit harsh. Bottom line is, by the time you get through busting your ass physically for 15 to 25 minutes, and you start pouring beer down on an empty stomach after all that shit, I got a good buzz.
So you don't eat before the match?
No, man. I mean, we might have had a burger or something or chicken breast on the way to the building.
I can't eat before. I feel so just lethargic and just like, whoa.
I mean, you can't go out there with, you know, just cramming your face full of food. So you go out there pretty much, you know, ready to go. You're hungry. Yeah.
You're hungry. You're ready to rock.
It's like an athletic contest. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
So you go out there and you're pouring down all them beers. And so, man, you know, I always tell people towards the end of my career, man, I was drinking for a living and wrestling on the side because that's what it turned out to.
Right.
But it was fun. I was going to ask you, with as much turn as you're doing right now and all the obligations that you have, is there a special lady in your life? Are you able to have a relationship? Where are you on that spectrum at the young age that you are?
Yeah, man. I have a girlfriend named Ashlyn. We've been together for like 2 years. It's good stuff. It's good to have someone, you know, that supports you. It's good. You know, traveling is hard. Life is hard. It's all hard to stay super. There's in the entertainment business, there's no perfect relationship at all. It's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of, you know, respect that you need to have. So we're just, you know, working on stuff. How about you?
Eloquently articulated by Post Malone.
Very, very eloquent.
You're talking about riding on the edge of a lightning bolt. Dude, I know what's up. It's tough.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot that...
Dude, I ain't got 3 divorces for no reason.
That's
very
baller of you, though.
Yeah. So, been around the horn a few times.
Come on.
Yeah. You ever need some advice from a PhD guy?
We love it.
Me a yell. Yeah. I better call Steve. I could probably answer none of your questions as far as music goes, but as far as anything else, I might be able to help a brother out.
You know, we need it. I'm a little boy in this business, man.
What? Come on, man. You're a savvy veteran. Let me ask you a question. When is that second album going to drop?
Before the end of the year. It's hard because they got me running around the country and in Europe and everything crazy, but I have songs, and I honestly think this next album is going to be better than the first. The people are going to be like, "Wow, this is such a perfect album." He's such a great, he's perfect. He's so awesome. He's so handsome and very smart and very cool. How is this next album going to be cool? But I think this next album is going to be better than the first. And I'm really excited to put the music out. And it'll be out before the end of the year.
God dang, man. That's a confident statement. Because I love the first album, man. It's got so many hundreds of millions. I do watch all the stuff on YouTube. I've got it right here on my phone, and I've been jamming to it. I mean, that was an awesome album.
Thank you.
You're not worried about a sophomore slump. You feel that good about the new stuff.
I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all.
Is it the same vibe or
it's? I think it's.
Can you tell me anything about it?
It's more experimental in the same way. So I mean, you know, we got a lot of stuff. I played a lot of guitar on this album. But like I said, you know, you put an 808, you put the hip hop in it, and it just hits in the same. Like we got Tommy Lee playing drums on a track, getting John Mayer to play guitar on a track, just a lot of different stuff. But it will still resonate with the hip hop audience, but open it up to a whole new audience. So I think we can have a number one hit in hip hop, and I think we can have a number one hit in alternative, and I think we can just really just fuck it up, like just go crazy, you know. I think it's gonna be I think this next album, it's called Beer Bongs and Bentleys. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be
your handle on Twitter.
Yeah, it's gonna be I think this is gonna be a very important album. I think it's gonna really shift, because there's a lot of people out there that are in the hip hop industry that want to be rockers. That want to wear a band t-shirt that don't know the songs from the band. And I think it's important that if you really love the music, that you bring it in, but in your own way, but also in a way that your fans can relate to it.
So would you say, because your musical production or your efforts in the first album, you come from all over the place, but it is rooted in hip hop, right?
Essentially.
So the second album, you wouldn't, it's not experimental enough that you will alienate the hip hop crowd and all of a sudden say, hey dude, we dug your first album.
Yeah, what the hell's going on?
You went this way on us. Right. What's up?
Right. I think it paves a new way that really caters to my fans of the first album, but will cater to my fans that haven't listened to it yet. On the last album, there was a whole track where it was just me sitting right here with a microphone and a guitar. No production, no nothing. It was just a song that I wrote. And me and the guitar, and people, it went over super great. And it's just stuff like that that I feel that if you bring the emotion and the personality and the swag that you have to another genre that people might, even in the hip hop industry, that people might not be open to, they'll listen to it because you actually have something relatable to say to the youth and to, you know, the audience that listens to the most hardcore hip hop. You're still talking about, you know, the everyday shit that you go through, but it's just on both sides. I think this album is really the perfect line that you could walk, and it's just bullseye.
All right, let's take a quick pause for the calls here at Post and thank another sponsor who makes this podcast possible. Then we will get back to our conversation. If you're a business owner that has to find the right candidate for a job out of tons of applicants, you know how challenging it can be. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. For the listeners of the Steve Austin Show Unleashed, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Steve to check out the service. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Steve to try ZipRecruiter for free.
Fantasy football season is here, and we've got the best fantasy football podcast anywhere because we've got the best fantasy football analyst in Evan Silva from RotoWorld.com. Make sure you subscribe to the Fantasy Feast podcast so you can hear me, Ross Tucker, get Evan's rankings and draft strategies to give you the edge you need this year. That's the Fantasy Feast podcast, available on the Podcast One app or wherever podcasts are found.
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed.
So whose idea was it when you said that Tommy Lee and John Mayer, however you pronounce his name, I know you're talking about, played on this album. Whose idea was it to reach out to those two individuals?
Well, Tommy Lee, I love Motley Crue growing up.
Me too. That's the first concert I ever went to.
My dad put me on Motley Crue at a very young age, so it's like... My homie Andrew Watt, who I sat down and wrote some of the guitar stuff with, incredible guitar player, he said, "Yo, I know Tommy Lee. Like, let's go over to his house. Let's go." And I said, "Hell, fucking yeah!" And we go over to his house. He has this awesome pad, awesome studio, everything. And then me and Lou, which is Ben's brother, he helps write and produce a lot of the stuff. And we just made this awesome song. I played guitar on it, and then. It's very calm, and then we cut out for like two bars, and then Tommy just comes in crazy. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Tommy Lee is playing drums on one of them, and Tommy Lee became a very good friend of mine. And then recently we just did a show. So John Mayer put out a tweet, and he was like, "So people never told me that Post Malone was awesome. Like, this is, he's super sick. Like, all that stuff." And then I came out, we did the forum in LA, and we did congratulations together. Yeah. Me and John Mayer, it was super sick. And Tommy Lee played drums, and it was super sick. So it's just like people that understand hip hop and people that understand rock and roll can all come together and realize that it's not a genre anymore. It's just music at this point, you know? Super sick.
What's next?
I don't know. It's tough. I just want to put out this album. I'm really excited. And people have been waiting for it for a long time. And my label's been waiting for it. But they got me running around. So I just want to... I really think, dude, it's going to blow minds. And I think that this next tour is just going to go crazy. And then after that, we'll do some arenas and stuff.
You got a chance to... Well, we have the opportunity to come together here in my house and shoot the breeze. And, hell, I'm surprised you know who I was. And, I started following you as soon as I found out about you. It was like, I'd be blown away. So we're just shooting the breeze on a podcast. But with all the obligations to get the word out, the promotion, to talk about the concerts, to talk about the records,
right,
to talk about all that stuff, How are you with that? Like I said, I've seen you, you know, with Peter Rosenberg and all
right,
those things. You dig going to the places and talking to people? Or is it like just a necessary evil, things that you must do, or you enjoy the process once you get started? What's your flow on that?
That's a great question. It really depends. It depends on if I know the person. And if the person is, or even has a personality, and is not just a play button behind a radio station, like this is a dream come true for me doing this. Peter Rosenberg, such a smart guy, knows music, such a sweet guy. That was incredible to do. It just depends, man, because a lot of people ask me the same questions over and over again, and I'm sitting there playing Xbox, and then they say, "Wow, you gotta leave in 2 hours to go do some radio interview, in wherever," and then we gotta go do it, and I gotta act like I'm surprised by these same questions. I love people, and these people are completely different off the air. No, I wouldn't say that. These people act differently off air than they do on air. And everybody has been super kind and super cool, but The same questions suck. You don't want to answer. Right. And you and Dave Grohl said it best. You're going to all these interviews, answering these questions, and you try to give them a different answer every time. Right. But it's just sometimes you're just like, man, I don't know, whatever. I'll give you the same answer I gave the last guy. You know, they can find it either way.
God dang, dude. I've been through so many damn interviews.
Yeah, man, I believe it.
Hey, man. Tell the story about how you came up with the Stone Cold the name for Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm
tell like, the story about the leg brace,
dude. No, the leg brace story is because people don't know,
right?
You know, college, right. You know, and dude, I mean, a couple times I blew that knee out working with a guy you've never heard of, but who should be in the Hall of Fame, superstar Bill Dundee in Tennessee, and working with him, and dude, back in the day, as you, probably it was for you when you were coming up. Dude, if you didn't work, you weren't going to make no money. So you just didn't have the money to go to a doctor. You didn't have no insurance. So you taped up your friggin' leg.
It's like
the
wrestler.
Went out there and worked. So, I mean, that there's a story behind those leg braces. Not everybody gets to hear them right. Because no one really asked me that. Right. But I've told that story about how I got that damn name so many times. It's like, if you don't know it by now.
Right.
You know, exactly. I'm getting tired of telling it.
Exactly. So if you don't know by now, you don't care.
And here's the thing. Dude, at 22 years of age, you're going to be answering the same shit right. For exactly. A long time.
Exactly. I mean, man, people just want to feel like they're doing something new. But I mean, it's all there. If you want to go to Wikipedia, you'll see all that stuff. You know,
Wikipedia is always a good place to start. But if you stick to Wikipedia, you can go read Wikipedia. You know what I mean? Might as well not talk.
Right.
But you know, when I did read Wikipedia about you, it said that your vocal style was described as laconic. I don't know what the fuck laconic means. Can you explain it to me?
I have no clue what laconic means. But they also said on my Wikipedia that I played like AAA volleyball, and I never played a game of volleyball in my life.
I could see you playing beach volleyball.
Come on, baby. Yeah,
digging one out.
Yeah.
Ben, can you tell me what laconic means?
I have no idea.
I got a computer in front of me. Yeah.
It's worth a Google.
You looked up my rapper name, so hey, give me my rapper name. Let's see what these rappers.
Rich Stevie Power Slab, aka Yo Fist.
Hey man, if you want to collaborate with me, post, just have your people call my people. No, you know, listen, we can get weird right here.
How much is a feature?
No, dude, I'm for you. Nothing. Nothing.
Damn.
Nothing. That's how I roll.
But for a new feature for strange people out there, it's going to be $150,000. I'm Rich Stevie's manager, so just
thank you very much. Hey, a laconic is of a person's speech or style of writing using very few words.
All right, that's not right. I have a lot of, there's a lot of words in my songs.
I don't understand that.
How
could it be laconic? Because if it was too laconic, you'd be up there humming or being instrumental. I do not know what is happening.
It's super laconic.
Ben, there's been a malfunction.
Ben's name is Young Laconic. That's his rapper name.
I want to call who's the dude that wrote that dictionary? Webster. I want to call Webster up. I'm not talking to my assistant. Siri, call Webster and Wikipedia. Tell them to change the definition of laconic to an awe-inspiring lyric provided by an amazing young artist.
Okay, Steve.
Here's one for you. I was driving home. Cancel that, Siri. I'm just messing with you. Dude, I was driving home yesterday. I'm filming my show right now, Broken Skull Challenge, right? And so I live out on set because it's too far to drive back and forth.
Where is it at?
You know, like if you go to 405
Texas.
North.
Texas.
Yes.
That
ain't Texas. It's 50 miles out here. Like you're going to Palmdale.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been out there.
I think this is where we shot the video.
It's out there by the Vasquez Rocks.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Ah, yes.
You know the Vasquez Rocks. Everybody knows where the Vasquez Rocks are. Anyway, it's 50 miles from here. So I live out there on location. Right. And so I'll drive out there tomorrow afternoon to get ready for Monday's competitors. And I come back on Friday afternoon. So I was driving back yesterday. And, you know, dude, I got my headphones in, and you ain't supposed to text while you're driving. Right. I can't stand one of my pet peeves. post is people texting while they're driving.
I can't stand it whenever they do it in my car. So I'm sitting there in the passenger seat and they're texting, driving him and driving my car.
Oh, dude, I'll say,
I said,
hey,
do it in your goddamn car.
Yeah, I'll say, hey, nah, you ain't doing that while I'm riding shotgun.
Yeah.
So, or riding in the back, whatever the case is, or if I'm in the back of the pickup bed. But I was driving home yesterday, so I just hit Siri. I said, Siri, tell my absolutely beautiful wifey, she's wanting to program my phone, that I am at the corner that I live at right over here. I'm not going to mention the name. And she says, okay, ready to send? I said, yes. I didn't check it because I just trusted that Siri had the right phone number. All of a sudden, I got a text message about 20 minutes later from a guy that's in a wrestling business named Marty the Moth and Lucha Underground. And he goes, glad to hear it, Steve, but I won't be there. Martin Casals, he's from Tough Enough. And I was like, God dang, how did you get my absolutely beautiful wife he mixed up with Martin Casals? Do I got a speech impediment?
Right, right.
Did I stutter?
Right.
What did I fuck up?
It's that you
never, dude, so now I'm sending, and it says, I'll show you the text message. When I send a dude a text message that says my absolutely beautiful wife, there's a major malfunction. Right. Shit.
Siri sees through it all. She sees through the machismo.
Look right underneath that thumb. Read that shit.
I am.
I said it, guy. Yeah. So when I'm sending a dude this kind of text message,
he
don't play that shit.
He sends you the winky face. All right, Stevie, I'll see you soon, baby boo.
I gotta get Siri hearing aid.
Yeah, no, she needs one. Dude, she definitely needs one, but she's on all the time.
Dude, I got this brand new iPhone 7 Plus, and ooh. I was sitting there. No, I'm not trying to impress you. Yesterday I was talking.
Well, I got an iPhone 4 over here.
Yeah, but you got a Rolls Royce.
I don't have a house, but
I'm
going to
win something. I'm going to lose something here. I'm losing big time to the man with the Rolls. I was talking to a guy last night about a T-shirt, and all of a sudden Siri hangs up on him and just starts playing my damn music.
Oh yeah, she's
I call him back. She cuts me off again. I'm like, man, I just got this brand new sumbitch, and now the it's all about downloading the new software. I don't get it, dude.
Siri is a spy for the U.S. government. That's all she is. That's all she's worth.
Dude, I don't know, but I think sometimes that I'm not able to articulate my phrases enough. And, like, I'll tell her to give me the directions to, like, Woodland Hills. And then she's sending me somewhere in like, South Africa.
Yeah, she'll have no...
Come on, man, really? Do I talk that bad? You've been able to understand almost everything I've said.
Yeah.
Or at least you shake your head and just give me some good answers.
I got it.
If you ain't hearing what I'm saying, you got some great answers.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. I'm good at improv.
So, a couple more questions to wrap it up. I know you got shit to do. I'm taking my wife out tonight. Tonight's my cheat meal. Ooh. I will have whiskey tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'll finish this beer with you, but I'm having whiskey tonight.
Yeah, I know you've been babysitting. What a wiener.
God dang, dude.
I just want to
Once I make up my mind post, I got to do it. I feel it.
That's very good determination.
And what was I going to ask
Cheers,
you? Cheers. We out here in L.A., you get a chance to do a lot of interviews on television, but have you considered getting into the acting business or anything like that? Because you know what? Everybody that sings wants to act.
Right.
Everybody that acts wants to sing.
Right.
There's that crossover.
Right.
So
yeah.
Where do you fly on this?
I'm not cute enough to act.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
You think I'm cute?
I ain't saying that. Homie, don't play that shit.
I'm not going to be there, Steve. Sorry.
I'm kidding.
Winky face. it's just like...
Dude, look at this face. This is a mug of... I've been in a couple movies, so, I mean, if I can do it, you got a head full of hair. You can do it.
Right. I mean, it's just... I have a neck tattoo. I have hand tattoo. It's hard. They can cover it all with...
plenty of guys
cover it all with makeup.
On.
I think that instead of acting, I would rather do... like a interview series or something like that, to where I could be myself and not play a role, and to where I could just have cool guests and cool, you know, topics and everything like that, to where we could just, I could still have all my tattoos and still look like.
But you want to be Post Malone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be.
I just want to be Steve Austin.
Yeah. And I mean, unless they want to put me in like a movie where I'm like a cartel homie and they shoot me. I've always dreamed of dying on a TV show or a movie. Like I just get shot.
Yep.
I feel like I have a great death and I've been practicing a lot in the mirror. So I feel like if I get shot in a movie, I'd know what to do. That's important to me.
You practice your death scene in front of a mirror?
It's rehearsed. I know what I'm going to do. I know the choking and the...
But you always got to have those last words. And it's like that old Western. It's like the dude laying there, dude just got his gut shot. He may have shot him in his leg and under his armpit. He's bleeding out. Give my fortune to little Johnny.
Not little Johnny.
Yeah, fuck that. Gotta give it to Johnny. Who would you give it to?
Yeah, I'd give it to little Timmy.
Oh, Timmy.
Yeah, man. Not Johnny. He's a douche.
Give my. Now, watch this. This is completely off the cuff. This is. I didn't even go to Groundlings for this shit. Watch it. Watch it. Listen. I just got gut shot, riddled with bullets.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff.
Drive by. We're on the streets of Los Angeles. Feasibly, this could happen.
Good stuff.
Listen. Kristen, that's my wife. Kristen, give my Bronco to Post Malone.
Yes! We love it. This is Triple A, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, you want to come up and do a movie.
I'm your guy. Yeah.
Just tell him put some like face tats and you could be like the hardest hitman in the game.
No, man, I got two tats. I got a skull on my leg and I got a cow skull and a Texas on the outside that leg. That's all I need, dude.
I got a big cow skull on my neck. I just need to get it filled.
So when you decided on a cow skull on the neck, which I dig, what made you decide to do that?
I don't know. I figured what's a better representation of Texas?
But you're from New York.
Right. But see,
You got a New York reference on you?
Yeah, I got a, I'm from Syracuse. I got a saltine Indian on my leg. I got New York over here, Dallas over here. You know, I'm about to get my Yankees logo. But I figure I got the Texas flag right here with the Stone Cold skull. I got Steve Ray Vaughan, everything. But I figure, like, the first place where you done drugs, that's where you're really grown up and you figured out what you wanted to do. You're a full-grown adult. So I figured I grew up in Texas. The only thing I did really in Syracuse is play video games and tried to snowboard in my front lawn, which didn't really work very well.
Hold that thought. I got two more questions for you. I'm going to go ahead and record the story. Ben, you're a Post's manager, right?
Assistant.
Okay.
Exactly.
So Ben asked me a question about Steve Williams. So anyway, so because I've told this story many times, but I'm going to record it for posterity's sake, and I need more time on a podcast. We're going to wrap this thing up. I got another question for Post. So anyway, I started off as Steve Williams. I went to Tennessee, and Dutch Mantel, the booker, who's running the show, making the matches, didn't even know I was coming into town. The owner didn't tell him. I show up at the Mid-South Coliseum in Tennessee and Memphis, and all of a sudden he goes, well, what's your name? I said, Steve Williams. He goes, you can't be that here. I said, why not? Because of Dr. Death. He goes, you got 15 minutes to come up with a name. Dude, when you're forced to come up with a new name in 15 minutes, it's going to affect the rest of your future. It's kind of hard, right?
You got a rap name generator. Rap name generator.
Yeah, I ain't got no rap name generator. I didn't have a wrestler name generator.
What do you mean, a.k.a. Yo Fist?
Yeah, Yo Fist. So he says, okay. He comes back and he goes, what'd you come up with? I said, nothing. He goes, you got 5 minutes. He comes back in 5 minutes. He goes, what do you got? I said, nothing. He goes, okay, you're Steve Austin. So then he called me Stunning Steve Austin. I turned into a bad guy.
Because you're from Austin?
Yeah, he thought Austin in Texas would be kind of cool because I was from Texas. That was his thinking. And it was just a fluke that I was born there. So anyway, I didn't want to be Steve Austin because he was a $6 million man way back in the day, and I don't want to jack his gimmick, right? Yo Fist. And so anyway, I was Steve Austin, Stunning Steve Austin. Then when WWF hired me from ECW, they wanted to call me the Ringmaster because they always like to change your gimmick. And so, man, I went in as a ringmaster for 6 months, and it sucked ass. I mean, that was a horrible gimmick, but it gave me a foot in the door. And then I came up with the Stone Cold thing, and that's how Stone Cold Steve Austin was born. And so I got away from Stunning, kept to Steve Austin.
Was ECW?
That was USWA. Yeah, it was. No, but see, you're a lot younger.
I'm older. I got 11 years. I'm 33.
Yeah, but you're still a youngster.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how all that happened. But anyway, as I was out taking care of business and Post was taking care of business, there's one other question. I'm sitting across the table from you. You guys are the only human beings I've ever let smoke in this house.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
I'm over getting secondhand smoke, dude. If I check in with a positive checkout,
I got a dip too.
I'm coming for you. I'm kidding you. Hey, Post, I'm a watch guy.
Yes, sir.
Do my eyes deceive me, or is that a diamond encrusted Patek Philippe on your wrist?
I didn't know you was a watch guy,
dude. Are you kidding me? I'm Mr. Watch Guy. Am I correct?
This is the good stuff. This is just, I traded in my Rolex and my Audemars for this junk. It's good stuff. I'll take you out.
What is that?
It's a Nautilus.
Nautilus?
Yeah. Patek Philippe Nautilus, yeah.
But it's in the shape of a Patek Philippe.
Yeah. No, it's a Patek Philippe.
Oh, so I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm correct.
Yeah, you're very correct.
I got a good eye, don't I?
Fix his glasses.
All these damn jewels on here, but good I see. Stuff. Yeah.
Let's put some light on it.
All
Let's
the bling. It
fucking super baller stuff, man. It's good stuff. I traded it. That watch cost more than my life.
That is definitely some bling, mister.
It's good stuff.
That's awesome. No, it's awesome. It's beautiful. But I love watches. I'm a fanatic for watches, so I just noticed it. I said, man, that dude's he's rocking a Patek.
I did. That's very sharp eye. A lot of people think that it's an Audemars. And I used to have the stainless steel Audemars.
Yeah, it's great.
Diamonds like that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the offshore Royal Oak. But you can't get really much better than the Patek.
Yeah.
I mean, that if I had enough money to get the all rose gold, it'd be $100,000 off rip.
Right.
But I had to get the rose gold stainless, but I covered it in diamonds anyway. Because, you know, you can rock it with silver and you can rock it with gold. It matches with everything.
The Audemars offshore, maybe a little more rugged.
It's definitely way more. It's way bigger. It's way chunkier. And it has that rubber ring around the bezel, so you can just knock it around.
You ever get in a bind, this watch can get you out of a bind.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Or it could get you held up.
Exactly. Not me, though. Come on. I hear you. I hope someone comes and tries it. Yeah, you can have it. Come on, buddy. I'll go into my trunk. I'll get you the paperwork, buddy. Here's the paperwork right here, buddy.
That's a beautiful watch.
Thank you, I just wanted to know I saw it.
I got a thing for time and watches.
What an eye. What do you got on right now?
This right here is a watch that we actually used in a movie, and it's not a fancy brand, but it's a respected brand called Kobold, made in Pittsburgh.
It's heavy.
And it's got my Broken Skull logo on it.
That's badass.
I did a low-budget movie in Vancouver, and in the movie, Eric Roberts gave me that watch, and we had six of them made. Two of the other producers have a few of them. I brought two of them. And so that's one of six.
It's a badass watch.
Dude, it's just basic. Basically, it's a Kobold Arctic Diver, and that's about a $4,500 watch. So it's not expensive. It's just cool. High legibility. With my eyes these days, you see I'm rocking my glasses on top of my damn dome. High legibility. That's what I'm about.
Right. We love it. I seen the font on your text messages. Big.
Oh, Post. Post getting all buzzed up. He's starting to bust my chops now. Hey, when I saw you come in those cowboy boots down the sidewalk, first of all, I said, hey, man, if somebody's taller than it looks on TV, and you said those are Lucchese's. Now, back in my day, if you had a pair of Tony Lamas, you was this shit.
Tony Lamas.
But you
got to
have Lucchese's these days.
Lucchese's rocking. I just got a, you know Stallion?
Who?
Stallion. It's the brand Stallion. No. They make boots. So you know Bootstar, right? On Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, what is it? It's Sunset. Yeah, it's on Sunset right next to Pink Dot. I got a custom pair made there. They're pink suede Nile crocodile boots. And I get them on Wednesday, and I'm so excited.
Hey, will you send me a picture?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've hunted in a Nile River on many occasions, and I've never seen a pink crocodile.
I guess.
Where did they find this creature?
It's very rare. It's very rare. You can only find it on the second Tuesday of every eclipse.
of every moon eclipse.
You're so full of shit.
That's when they come out and play. That's where they come out and do crocodile
shit.
Dude,
those are going to be loud. They better be super dope.
Very, very, very loud.
I'm going to read this to you. Here's the back of the watch post. Made especially for Stone Cold Steve Austin, special edition, 1 of 6. Now, see.
Deal.
Now, that S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Now all I got to do is get that motherfucker crushed in diamonds.
Very baller. Yes, sir. I'll take you to the right guy. He'll hook you up VBS free.
You talking diamonds on me.
Now we'll go crazy.
I didn't give away enough diamonds and I'm a diamond expert too.
Yeah, come on. Hey. Rick Flair will tell you. Rick Flair will tell you. He said, you know I spent more money on spilled liquor this whole world around. Woo! He'll tell you.
You know one business that always intrigued me? Was pawn shops.
Yeah.
You can find something for everything in pawn shops, man. You know, because I've been to my share.
That's where I get all my samurai swords.
Is it?
No.
You collect them?
No, I love swords, but I don't have any pawn shop samurai
hey,
swords.
Hey, man, before we wrap this endeavor up, anything you want to plug, promote, talk about the album, social media? Are you on Instagram? I know you're on Twitter.
Instagram. My girlfriend doesn't let me get on it, but I post a picture on Twitter and...
How come she won't let you get on it?
I don't know. She doesn't want me to be a bad boy because I'm a real handsome. I'm a sex icon, so she can't really. Sometimes she can't handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's whatever. I only got 2 buttons buttoned on my shirt, so you can already tell that I'm a bad boy. Yeah, man. Just check out Stony. Buy Stony if you don't have it. Check out Beer Bongs and Bentleys when it's come out. Let's get weird. Let's go. Let's rock.
Post Malone, this podcast has been on the fly. What I'm going to do, I'm going to drop this thing on Tuesday and Thursday. I'm going to come in on the same week. It's going to be Post Malone week on the Steve Austin.
Come on. Show.
You dig that?
We love it.
We love it. We got weird. I was unprepared, but for just two dudes, 2 cats shooting a breeze, I had a blast.
Yeah, I had a great time, man.
When I get my place all set up over here, bring your guitar, and I will get back on the whiskey, and we will have a drinking and jamming session. How you like that?
Let's go. You play drums or bass?
I'll try.
Country bass is easy. It's boom, 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 boom. You can do that all day.
Hey, man, you ever hear a band out of Texas, my 3 boys out of San Angelo, Los Lonely Boys? Have you ever heard of them?
Take me from this prison. Lord, help me get free.
Damn.
Hard. Because only... That's the best song of my whole life.
Heaven.
That's the best song ever. That's the best song ever
written. Henry's a guitar playing son of a bitch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I believe it.
And those are my
Where
boys.
They from?
San Angelo.
Here? Out here?
No, San Angelo, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
So
they're incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I was talking to Henry the other day, and I said, man, dude, why don't you put out no more albums? And he goes, man, people don't really sell albums anymore. I'm like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. People sell albums all the time.
Right.
So I don't know what they was up to. But anyway, I wish them all the best. They're real good friends of mine. We got your Instagram covered. We got Twitter covered. What's the name of the first album? Stony?
Stony.
Stony's the first album, and Beer Bongs and Bentleys, which is your Twitter handle.
Yes,
is
sir.
Going to be the name of the second album. How long did it come up? How long did it take for you to come up with the name Beer Bongs and Bentleys? Because, goddamn, that's an instant classic.
It took me about 1 beer bong. I figured, you know, I'm a man of simple taste. So I wanted to make something. Like I said, I got the Luke Casey's on. I got some Levi's and I got a beer delivery shirt. But, you know, other times we might have the Gucci 3-piece. So, I mean, it's just the best of both worlds. Like, I never had money growing up. So, it's that same simple life, but same time you get the baller lifestyle. So, I just figured it's the best way to describe me.
While you're doing that baller lifestyle, don't forget to portion off a little bit for Uncle Sam, because he's going to come once a year.
He comes very...
If you don't take care of Uncle Sam, he's going to come get you.
Yeah, he comes very hard every
me
year.
Me being a wily, grizzled veteran, giving you some heartfelt advice.
Every time I turn around, he's pointing right there at me. Uncle Sam wants you, buddy.
Hundreds of millions of downloads on YouTube. God dang, what a cool sound he's got. Post Malone, sitting here at 317 Gimmick Street, drinking his beer, and he's going to get in a Rolls Royce and ride off in the sunset, and I'm taking my wife out to dinner. I'm going to have a glass of whiskey and a cheeseburger.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about the simple things in life.
They're going to In-N-Out, ladies and gentlemen.
No, fuck In-N-Out.
You want the Whataburger. You want that Whataburger.
I'm going to have one flown in on a Lear. That's Steve Austin. I'm with Post Malone.
Yes, sir. Best of luck to you. Thank you, brother.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cues. Time to ride off in the sunset and wrap this thing up. I want to thank Post Malone one more time for bringing his ass over here to my neck of the woods at 317 Gimmick Street in his Rolls Royce Wraith $300,000 car ass. I tell you what, Post, it was good talking to you. Post is big into cars. He showed me a couple of the custom cars that he has on his telephone, and I like that dude. I like his music. I can't remember if I recommended a video last time, but if you ain't got on YouTube, just type in Post Malone, check out White Iverson or Go Flex or Congratulations. Those are just three. I got the album downloaded on my iPhone, had it ever since I hooked up with Post, and I really dig it. It's a unique sound. It's kind of a chill vibe, and I dig it the most. Hey, ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin has all the shirts that I've been wearing on previous seasons of Broken Skull Challenge, and they've been making the shit out of a bunch of shirts for this year. Big ups to Ryan and the guys over at Pro Wrestling Tees. We just started filming season 5. We're heavy into production. We're almost done. I'm wearing all the brand new shirts. ProWrestlingTees.com will have those very, very soon. Hey, man, if you're thirsty for a goddamn real good beer, I got one for your ass. Best damn IPA on the planet, Broken Skull IPA at El Segundo Brewing Company. Shit, stop by the brewery and get you some. 140 Main Street over there at El Segundo. Hang a left out of airport, LAX, and you there, brother. You can also get Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Cali. If you ain't in Cali, check InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. Hey, if you're looking for a badass knife, and everybody should have one, hey, check out the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife or my new Working Man Knife. You can get them both at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin and check them out. Hey, man, before I sign off, you can find me on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Steve Austin BSR. And I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That is how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at podcastone.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Folks, I am hot and heavy in the middle of production of the toughest goddamn show on television, Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge. Until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.